Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
So we got a couple of breaking news items when it comes to quarterbacks in the NFL. We also finally had ourselves a pretty decent Thursday night football game, right? Lucy Burge will join us in about 15 minutes or so here as well. So lots to get to in the next 30 minutes here on a send it in on a Friday. I know PJ probably got to a lot of college football here, so I'm going to spoil this for you a little bit. It's NBA season for me too. I got some NBA bets for you for tonight. I love it, but we know it's all about the NFL, of course. That is the number one most important thing when it comes to anything, betting, when it comes to America. I get it. We're in some of these areas where, you know, college football has its moments. We know what the NFL is, and thank God for last night, because 2 weeks ago and what we had in Thursday night football was just awful, unwatchable. We now have seen the rebirth of the Rams, and the Rams are in a spot where they have the potential to win the NFC West. They're sitting at plus 550. Their offense is fully healthy, and the 49ers are falling apart. I mean, literally, everybody is falling apart right now on that team. I don't trust Seattle. Arizona's not there yet. At plus 550, the Rams, as long as they don't trade Cooper Kupp, don't go out there trading Cooper Kupp, are in a spot now where they can take that division and they can really start to ascend in the NFC. I think people forgot how good the Rams offense actually was. I looked at that last night because, right, for one, we didn't know that Puka Nacua was going to play until really late. That was one of the big surprises heading in. We knew Cooper Kupp was going to be back. I took the over on his receptions, and then Puka Nacua is in, and I'm like, oh, well, now I actually hate that bet, because seven, when you're going to have Puka out there too, the distribution of the targets are just, oh, but it is what it is. Already made the bet. But when you watch the Rams, just right at the beginning, man, they are moving the football up the field, and I sat there and went, the Rams are plus 3.5 right now in this game. They're down 7-0, so I've got a good number here. And apparently nobody's watching what this offense is doing right now. That was one of the easiest live bets I've ever placed. I wish I put more on it. I wish I bet it like 3 times. But the Rams have so much firepower with Kyren Williams in the backfield. Rushing and receiving yards hit last night on the over. That was 94.5. That's something I'm going to certainly bet every single week. I'd say you probably should do the same thing. The Puka Nacua Cooper Kupp dynamic is what you really want to be interested in and watch here. Because obviously, first, the big question is, do they trade Cooper Kupp? If I'm the Rams seeing what we had last night, and I'm talking front office when we do this, I'm not trading Cooper Kupp. Why? Like, I get it. This roster is expensive. I get it. They're getting a little bit older. Like, you have a chance to at least be a playoff team one more time here. That was the sign last night that, okay, maybe Matt Stafford's got one or two more years left in him. Fine. You don't break this thing up. I mean, Sean McVay after the game saying the same thing, right? So we hope we keep him here. We expect him to be here. They're doing it like, it just felt like a statement being made that, hey, this team isn't ready to be, you know, I don't even want to use the word rebuilt, but let's just say get to the point where they're starting to break that thing down a little bit, look to get a little bit younger, look to add some draft picks and some assets there. Puka Nacua is going to elevate, if he hasn't already officially, as the number one receiver there. Fine. Still had 8 targets for Cooper Kupp. 6 in the first half, though. I'm not really ready to put on the tinfoil hat here, but I did have a conspiracy theory in the first half that it felt like Puka Nacua was getting far more targets just so they could almost hide Cooper Kupp so teams didn't want to trade for him. And they're like, oh, he's got nothing left in the tank. No tinfoil hat yet. I'm not quite there. It's like a conspiracy-ish theory that's there. But yeah, if you're the Rams, I'm looking at this going, you have a chance to win the division. You can make some noise in a very wide-open NFC right now. And on top of that, your offense is humming, and you've got a lot of weapons there. What's not to like about the Rams right now? And I get it, the Sam Darnold. Yeah, everybody's freaking out about the Sam Darnold missed face mask in this. Fine. We can be upset that the call was missed. But let's be honest with ourselves here. The Vikings would have still had to go 80 yards, under 2 minutes to go, and they had to convert a two-point conversion also to tie that thing up. I get that it was a bad missed call, but it's not like that decided the outcome of this game. Now, it did decide the total for some people, because if you had the over, I had over 47.5, I was already just barely sitting pretty there. But if you had maybe a live 49.5 and you went over, or maybe you had went under just slightly there, that changed for a lot of people. So if you're in one of those boats where that safety at the end hurt you, my apologies. I've been there, and I know what it's like. And we've all gone through it before. I did have a side bet with a buddy of mine during a Game Day Garage last night. New episode up on YouTube, all the social platforms as well. And he bet me $200 it was going to go over 47.5. And I said, boom, I'm in. Started sweating a little bit, though. So there's that. But hey, you know what? Sometimes the side bets are the best bets. So I mentioned breaking news in the NFL. It looked like today that Jaden Daniels was not practicing with the Commanders. So there's a media portion at the beginning, and he wasn't out there. That doesn't always mean anything. Did later, Dan Quinn came out and said that he did practice, and that essentially what they're looking to do is, quote, assess how he responds over the next 48 hours. We really pushed it today. Obviously, there's a ton of hype around what's going on Sunday. If it's Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels, the matchup, that's what people want to see. If that does happen, of course, they got moved up to the later window. If you're Washington right now, you have to sit here and think about the long term. They're not thinking about Sunday in just all by itself. They're not thinking about the game being moved up to the later window and helping out networks and ratings and all those things. And they're not thinking about the fact that this is a matchup between two quarterbacks. And there'd be some early bragging rights going on there. All they care about is that Jaden Daniels is healthy long-term, because as somebody that is a fan of that team and as somebody that has seen the worst-case scenario for somebody you think is going to be a franchise quarterback, even though it's all new people there, that still sticks with the franchise. That still sticks with the fan base, and everybody's going to be as smart and as cautious as they can be with Jaden Daniels the rest of the way. So if you're looking at anything prop-wise on Sunday, I'd stay away from anything Washington until we know what's going on. Even though their offense was potent against the Carolina Panthers, one of the worst defenses in the NFL, I'd probably just wait and see what we're actually going to get. Wouldn't touch any Marcus Mariota once even that gets posted if he ends up starting. No. But I do like Caleb Williams over on his passing yards. I will say that. That is a good spot for him against that Washington secondary. Commanders are a top-5 fantasy matchup for quarterbacks in terms of yards until last week, when those numbers got kind of skewed up against Carolina when they just beat the hell out of them and, you know, Panthers couldn't actually move the football at all. So I'd stay away from that, but I really do like Caleb Williams in the spot where he is. He continues to ascend. He continues to get better. And then offense is starting to figure things out. Like, we got to the beginning of this season, right? Week 1, and people were so excited to watch the Bears. And look, I was too. Then there's panic. 93 yards passing for Caleb Williams. Oh, my God! Oh, he's broken! Oh, he's a bust! Calm down. The offense, I mean, even Jaden Daniels didn't look good week 1 either. So when you get to a point where you're a rookie quarterback in the NFL, in a new offense, and from Chicago's perspective, high expectations, new weapons even added to that offense on top of it, got a lot of really talented wide receivers there, it takes time to figure that thing out. We're starting to see the Bears quietly trend in the right direction here. They're over 500. I know Washington's sitting there at 5-2. I would even be cautious in terms of a lot of things Jaden Daniels related if he does play. Brian Robinson rushing and receiving yards, or maybe just rushing yards, might be the direction to go. They might try to run that football a little bit more, but you got a good Bears defense on the other side there. It's going to be a real test. So I would suggest just staying away from anything Washington related. We also know that Tua is going to be playing for Miami Whether you like it or not, he's back out there. Went through all the protocols. Miami's a 4-point favorite now against Arizona. I get it, right? Like, it is what it is. And there are a lot of people that think he should retire. He's not going to. I think what people forget sometimes with pro athletes, so this is what they've done their entire lives. Like, Tua's the guy, right? We've all had the friend that's been in a relationship where you know it's not good for them and there's some toxic things going on and really they should get out of it and go their separate ways. But it's easy for you to say that because you're not emotionally invested in it like they are. Tua's in a really dysfunctional relationship with football. But he can't just walk away from it. He loves it too much. And there's been a lot of good times. And he remembers all those good times. And there's the fear on the other side of, well, what do I do if I'm no longer in that relationship anymore? Well, that's where Tua is. So of course he was going to come back. It's really difficult to figure out what you're going to do post-playing career, especially when you're young and especially when you're in a spot where he is, where he's just entering the prime of his career. Doesn't surprise me one bit he was coming back. I really kind of expected this to be the case from the beginning. And this is now a Dolphins team that has just looked embarrassing offensively without him. Because it's almost impossible to emulate that offense. Getting the ball out quick, right? Under 2.5 seconds. That's what Tua does. That's his thing. Skylar Thompson's not going to do that. Tim Boyle's not going to do that. Snoop Huntley's not going to do that for you. So now we start to see what the Dolphins offense will even look like with all those weapons, even if it's not at full strength, against an Arizona defense that allows a lot of that. I love Devon Achane over 89.5 rushing yards in that game. Cardinals allowed the 6th most rushing yards to opposing backs alone. But on top of that, Devon Achane gets heavy targets as a receiver out of the backfield from Tua. We've seen it a lot this year. And if you go back to weeks 1 and 2 alone, 100 and 165 total yards the first 2 weeks. And he got a bunch of targets even last week in that offense. Devon Achane is in a great, great spot to be a major impact player once again for this offense when it's really been, it's been up and down, right? It's kind of been a back and forth with him where at times, right, when Tua got hurt, Skylar Thompson just decided, I'm not prepared. I'm just going to throw it to Devon Achane. Like, I think that's all he did was throw him the ball out of the backfield. Then the offense completely fell apart, and Devon Achane was a no-touch for me along with everybody else on that entire Dolphins offense. Devon Achane is the guy that I love this weekend in this spot. There's a lot of chemistry between him and Tua, and I can imagine the Dolphins are also going to want to get that ball out of his hands quickly, not risk any other hits, pray to God he doesn't have to run the football at all, and a great opportunity is handing the ball off to Achane and dumping it off in the flat, give him some opportunities there as a receiver. So over 89.5 rushing and receiving yards is a really, really good spot for him. We'll get to Lucy Burge in a couple minutes here. I do want to at least touch on this DeAndre Hopkins trade. This wide receiver trade versus Devontae Adams actually moves the needle more for me because the Chiefs are the last unbeaten team in the NFL. And, like, Devontae Adams was not going to just walk into the Jets and, like, fix that thing. Right, you looked at him and he looked around and he was like Ron Burgundy in the bear cage. Like, I immediately regret this decision. Like, you could just tell he's given a speech already. Who, I don't care. Devontae Adams is an all-time great wide receiver. But how many guys get traded in mid-season, walk into a locker room and have to give some big speech to try and fix the culture of a team? He already had to do that. Now, maybe Aaron Rodgers was like, hey, dude, can you say something? Because they're not listening to me right now. There's a chance that's the case. But if you're looking at DeAndre Hopkins now in that Chiefs offense, I would wait and see what he looks like in terms of targets and how they work him into that system, because we know Andy Reid and his receivers, right? Loves to spread that ball around. Rashee Rice started to establish himself, obviously, as a number one. For the most part, it's a difficult spot to be in. Mahomes benefits from this. I mean, think about it. Patrick Mahomes has the second shortest odds to win MVP this year, and he's got more interceptions than touchdown passes. And they're unbeaten. Now, again, a lot of that is the Chiefs' defense. A lot of it is the Chiefs' defense. You give him credit, but now he's got somebody to throw the ball to. This opens up Travis Kelce. I'd look at Travis Kelce receptions starting this week because now there's a big-time receiver that may not be in his prime in D-Hop, but still out there the defenses have to respect. And then even on the other side of things, Calvin Ridley in Tennessee. I know they can't throw the ball, but they're going to have to target somebody at some point. I love the Lions, too, in that game. So, like, if you're the Titans and you're behind, they're at least going to try to throw the football. And Calvin Ridley's been bitching about not getting any targets, which You sign there, dude. It's the same thing with D-Hop. These guys sign with teams as a wide receiver that have bad quarterbacks, and then they're mad they're not getting targets. What would you sign with a team that's got Will Levis as your starting quarterback and then Mason Rudolph? This is what you get. But I'd look at Calvin Ridley receptions possibly this weekend, too. Just giving him the targets. Lions are probably going to be up in that game, and it's a great spot there, I think, for Calvin Ridley to become the number one guy there because they don't have a lot else besides that. We do also have a World Series Game 1 coming up tonight, and that is why we bring on our friend Lucy Burds as we talk every Friday. Lucy, you know we'll get to the NFL. We can get to last night, but I will start baseball with you because I know this is your Super Bowl as a baseball diehard. But I know you're probably also a little bit upset because, man, you got to watch Yankees and Dodgers in a World Series. I know that hurts your Red Sox heart. I know it has to.
It does. It does, Nick. Good afternoon, first of all. Happy World Series. I am fine as long as the Yankees don't win the World Series. That's kind of my day-to-day feeling about everything. And now here we are with a chance for them to win the World Series. So I am, of course, rooting for the Dodgers in the World Series. That's just a given. I mean, that I saw people today. I gave out, you know, my bets today, and people are being like, oh, they're all Dodgers. Yeah, they're all Dodgers bets. I don't want the Yankees to do anything because why would I? Like, that's crazy. So first, I got people saying, oh, you shouldn't root for the Mets because you're a Red Sox fan. And they're like, how come you're not betting on the Yankees? Oh, what do you want, people? Like, I'm not going to bet on the Yankees. That's just, except for tonight, Anthony Rizzo, to get a hit. But that's about it. Like, I want the Dodgers to sweep, but the Dodgers to win the World Series, two separate bets on those two. And so, yeah, Dodgers to win the World Series. I'm rooting for them with all my heart, even though they did beat the Mets. But, you know, Shohei Ohtani to win his first World Series and for it to be against the Yankees, I think is kind of perfect, Nick.
Okay, so you've touched on, you bet the Dodgers to win the World Series. You like an Anthony Rizzo hit tonight, so we got those out of the way. In terms of anything else in Game 1 tonight, is there a side you like? Is there even just maybe a feel, a lean that you have for this?
Yes, well, I have Dodgers to win this game. That is okay. -130 also for them to win the World Series as well, but Game 1 for them to just win. I don't have anything on the total, but I do have some props. I have two home run bets in this game. Kike Hernandez to hit a home run, who I also have to win MVP of the World Series, a little dark horse there, but he is batting 381 against Gerrit Cole, and he has hit a home run against him already, along with three doubles and four singles. So I think Kike Hernandez home run, and then Shohei Ohtani to hit a home run, because how perfect would this be, Nick, for Shohei Ohtani to hit a home run in his first ever game in the World Series? He hit one in his first playoff game this playoffs. So I think it would be perfect for him to hit a home run in his first World Series as well. And he has hit a home run off of Gerrit Cole already in his career, as well as a double and two singles. I also have Mookie Betts over 1.5 total bases. He's batting .421 against Gerrit Cole with a double and six singles. And he hit this in his last three games against the Mets and in four of the six games of that series. Freddie Freeman also over 1.5 hits, runs, RBI. And then, as I said, Anthony Rizzo to get a hit.
You know, this is what I love about having you on. I have like four other things I was going to ask, but you already hit on all of them. You got those it all in there. Like, I got MVP down from you. Like, it's great. I'm just like, I don't even have to like ask her about that anymore. MVP, nope, series bet. Got all that in there. So
that's it.
Does this Dodgers team feel different at all? You know, we talk so much about like the Dodgers and exercising the demons. They won a World Series, but it was a 62-game schedule, so nobody really counts that. Like, does it feel different just like, I know there's like some, everybody, right, with betting especially, right? There's always like trends and numbers and stats, and people like to throw them around. Sometimes there's just the eye test. And when you watch this Dodgers team, and maybe it's a lot of it is Shohei Ohtani, it does feel different, I feel like, than in past years.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it is Shohei Ohtani, but also you've got guys stepping up like Kike Hernandez, like Mookie Betts, of course, Mookie Betts being the baseball player that he is. And you look at this as a Red Sox fan, and you're like, oh, I wish we could get guys like that. The number of former Red Sox players in the World Series is astonishing, including Dave Roberts. But, you know, there's really no chance that they would have him playing right now. But it's funny because throughout the season, especially before the season, the opening odds for World Series, the Dodgers are favored. And so I thought that's too easy. Like, the Dodgers are not winning the World Series with Shohei. It's just because of Shohei Ohtani that they're favored. And now here they are. And also the Yankees odds coming into the season to win the World Series +800. I remember looking at those and thinking those should be longer. They are giving the Yankees way too much credit here. And they are, it's just Aaron Judge. It's just Juan Soto. And then I go, it's just Giancarlo. And you go down the list and you're like, yeah, I guess maybe. This team is a World Series contending team, and now they certainly are. It's factual that both of these teams that I doubted heading into the season are now in the World Series. But it does feel different, and I think that is the Shohei Ohtani effect. Because the year that you get him finally out of the Angels organization, he makes the World Series right away. So there is something to be said for that. And he's passed the Angels curse, the curse of the Angels that was bringing him down. And now I think it's different, and I think most of that is probably Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah, if only we could get Mike Trout out of there and actually see him in the postseason.
Seriously.
That'd be nice for baseball. Also, keeping him on the field would be great, too. I want to jump to the NFL with you. Last night, much better than the Thursday night game we had last week. Two great offenses. Are the Rams back in your eyes now? Is this a team where week by week we don't sit there and... Because, like, the thing for me was I don't know what I'm going to get from them offensively with everybody out. And then last night, right away, I'm going, oh, my God, Puka's back. Like, Cooper Kupp, there's like, no rust there whatsoever.
Yeah, so this is, well, first of all, I had Rams +3 last night, so I expected them to do that, so I was very pleased with the outcome of that game. But is it tough to say because they are coming off of, the Vikings were coming off of the Lions game, and the record of teams that lose to the Lions or face the Lions is, you know, 0-5, I believe. So there is that. But, I already, you know, I took the Rams to cover, so I think that was expected. But going forward, I don't know if I take them. Are they back? Will they have a face mask situation in every game going forward? I don't know. Like, it does. It's up to the refs, really, to determine whether or not the Rams are back, is what I would assume.
Wow. So they're going to get Chiefs treatment, is what you're saying then. Okay. That's good to know.
Yeah,
it's going to be.
Potentially.
It's true, though. That was that. The like, I know everybody's outraged about that Sam Darnold face mask, but like, they still had to go 80 yards and they had to convert a 2-point conversion. It felt like that was going to decide the game. But it was, I mean, don't get me wrong. It was egregious. Like I said, he looked like a puppy sticking his face out the window and the air was blowing the way his face got mushed.
His finger curled around it. Like, of course. Like, that was crazy. So, yeah, are the Rams back? Will they be above 500 soon? Potentially. So, are they back? Maybe.
Yeah, I know this. I'm taking Puka Nacua over in receiving yards and receptions probably every single week. He's going to get more targets than Cooper Kupp, although I think now this is a wake-up call. You don't trade Cooper Kupp. I was with you, too. I actually live bet the Rams when they were at +3.5. They were down 7-0. Yes. I was like, this is the easiest bet. Nobody's watching this. This is the easiest live bet I've made in a long, long time. It just... They at least, you know, they can keep up with anybody offensively that's there. I was talking about the DeAndre Hopkins trade to the Chiefs. We'll obviously see him debut this weekend. Does that move the needle more for you than the Davante Adams trade? And when you look at kind of the Chiefs offense now, is it still kind of a stay away because we don't know what you're going to look like in terms of targets, receptions, things like that? To me, I feel like this benefits Mahomes certainly, but I don't really know what we're going to see D-Hop in that offense, especially early with Andy Reid.
Yeah, well, it moves the needle in the sense that the Chiefs, I think, will make it to the Super Bowl and potentially win it. I do have Lions Chiefs Super Bowl, so it's tough to say they'll win it. But I think they were already a team that is undefeated and is headed toward the Super Bowl, and that is their trajectory. So this moves the needle in the sense that it just helps. Like, it's going to help them in their quest, and it will help Patrick Mahomes, who is just phenomenal and will lead them to the Super Bowl. So it moves the needle a little bit more because he is joining a team that is a Super Bowl contender. And the Bills, sure, their odds are up there to make the Super Bowl, but I don't think their chances of actually making the Super Bowl are that great. I would not take them to. So it moves the needle a bit more for me.
What's the five-star play for today from BetQL?
Five-star play is in the NBA tonight, covering all the bases here.
Yes.
No pun intended. Suns, Lakers, over 226 points. The over here. The BetQL model loves this as a five-star play. The Suns hit this over to open the season with their 116-113 win over the Clippers, and the Lakers did score 110 points against the Timberwolves to open in their opening game. So the BetQL model loves the over 226 points here as a five-star play in Suns, Lakers.
Lucy.
Thank you, Nick. You might be muted, but I think you said goodbye. So I will talk to you soon.
Yeah, you know, sometimes we get to this spot where technology just doesn't want to do its job. And that's, again, it's a continuous battle, and I will battle as much as I can. But yeah, speaking of the NBA, Pacers-Knicks tonight has a chance to be one hell of a game, not just because it's a nationally televised game, but you got to think back to that series last year. I know the Knicks aren't the same team, but the Pacers last year beaten the Knicks, injury depleted Knicks, not by any way close to full strength, but to get to the Eastern Conference Finals, they got real cocky. This means something to the Knicks tonight. This also means something to the Pacers. That rivalry from the 90s, Reggie Miller, we're not there yet. Tyrese Halliburton's kind of turning himself into a Reggie Miller to the Knicks again. I think this game goes over. It's moved up to 226.5. I bet it at 225.5. This has an over feel to it. And I know you're saying to yourself, but Nick, did you watch your Knicks get blown out against the Celtics? Yes, I did. And I threw up at least four times watching it. And it was not because of food poisoning. No, it was because it was an unbelievably horrible situation for the Knicks to be a part of. The Celtics were about to break an NBA record for the most threes made in a game. And yet they still shot 55% in that game and got blown out. So the Knicks offensively, besides Mikal Bridges and his broken jump shot, I have no idea what's going on with that. The Knicks, in a normal circumstance, probably would have won that game, or at least made it competitive. It's going to take time for this team to put everything together. Karl Anthony Towns, you're incorporating him into the offense, only had 12 points in his debut. Mikal Bridges, I don't know what to make of that shot. Like, what are you doing? Why did you change it? Why is it so ugly? Maybe the Knicks paid a hefty price for a broken jump shot. I don't know. But what I do know here is they can still get out and score. They shot 55% in their first game. The Pacers are going to want to come at them. They're going to get out. I think these teams are going to run. The Knicks are going to try and play, I mean, hopefully better defense than they did against the Celtics. But, like, you've got some defensive liabilities here, too. Karl Anthony Towns, not like, – so give the Knicks time. I think the Pacers win tonight outright. I also love them at +5. But the big thing for me is the over in this. This is a game that's going to be pretty high scoring, and this is going to be a game that means something, you know, very, very early on in the year. So, and listen, we've gotten to the point now. It's the first week of the NBA, but you got some stuff to at least kind of keep an eye on, right? It's tough. I only kind of dabble in the props market the first week of the season. You know, there's some spots you really like Cam Thomas over on points the other night. I took that from Nets. Like, he's the only guy I can score for him. So you just kind of watch that and go. Playing the Hawks. Hawks don't play any defense. Cam Thomas likes to score. Mikal Bridges, they're like that. Some of those are easy, but some of them, you want to see how things shake out. Like, everybody's talking about this Warriors 12-man rotation. That means fewer minutes for even some of the stars, like a Steph Curry, like a Draymond Green. So that may be a spot early where the market doesn't adjust and you can start hitting some unders. I'm not a huge fan of taking unders on stars, mainly Steph when I talk about the star there. I mean, Draymond can go under on his point. So, like, I think it's just one of those spots there where you say, let's see what this looks like. And on the other side of things, some of these guys on the back end of the Warriors rotation, is there a spot in there that we look and say, hey, these numbers are too low, and they're starting to get more minutes? Like, I'm not even talking to Jonathan Kuminga. I'm talking farther down the bench. It just depends on what that starting lineup's going to look like. Steve Kerr's talked about putting guys in different spots depending on matchups. So there's a lot there. But a 12-man rotation is, like, that is unheard of in the NBA. How long that lasts, we don't know. But there may be some opportunities there. We just kind of have to see how it plays out early in terms of what that rotation actually looks like. They don't have Klay Thompson anymore, so you're going to lose that. But the Mavs game, did you see what Klay Thompson did last? If anybody heard about Klay Thompson not being able to shoot the ball anymore after that final playoff game with the Warriors, he was 6-10 from 3, 22 points. He's not done yet. The Dallas Mavericks are a team that can really make some noise in the Western Conference. Now, I don't see them getting back to the NBA Finals 2 years in a row, but it's not out of the realm of possibility. Now, they've added a stretch, you know, somebody that can stretch the four in Klay Thompson, somebody that can, you know, has a lot of finals and playoff experience. If you're looking for a little bit more of a long shot in a really jammed up Western Conference, I think maybe you could at least consider betting the Mavs to win the West again. It's not easy. The West is tough. But, like, the teams at the very top, you've got Minnesota and Oklahoma City. They've got very little playoff experience, no finals experience. The Suns, they look better offensively right now. Tyus Jones is the key. By the way, take Tyus Jones assist props every single week. Best assist-to-turnover ratio in the history of the NBA at this point. And he's got multiple guys he can get the ball to on the perimeter that are going to go out and score. The Suns' offense looks like it got a little bit more comfortable early on here. Tyus Jones props every single week there, every single game. Honestly, I mean, so, but the West is still wide open enough where Dallas at least has a shot, right? Dallas has an opportunity, I think, to make some noise in the West. But I would just be careful. I would be careful, but I'd still probably. You know what? I think I'm actually going to play. I was thinking about it all morning. I think I'm going to do it. I think I'm going to bet the Mavs to win the West again. I talked myself through to the middle there. I was thinking it. The gears were turning. Yeah, I think I'm going to do it. They have a shot. They have a shot at least to do it. One more I will say. I think the Celtics are going to just blow teams out a lot this year. I think consistently they will. So you're going to probably want to stay away from a lot of those props too. Again, a lot of these are early on, like stayaways for me in terms of props, because you got to kind of weed out the stuff you don't want to touch. And the one thing we know in the NBA, God, it's always the blowouts that kill you. All right, let's get into some of the bets for this weekend. I'm going to start with the prop. My prop lock of the week, C.J. Stroud over 240.5 passing yards. Love the position that C.J. Stroud is in. I'm not worried about what we saw last week from him. I think this is certainly a bounce back spot for him. Specifically, 3 starts against Gus Bradley's defense, 6 touchdowns, no interceptions, averaging 294 passing yards per game there. Jags given up the second most passing yards this season. Give me C.J. Stroud over 240.5 for passing yards. The dog of the day, I mentioned it earlier. I'll throw it back. Go back to the NBA here. You got to go Pacers +5. Pacers are in there's a lot more chemistry. There's a lot more comfort there, and it really means something for them to go up against the Knicks team that did get beat, just the crap beat out of them against the Celtics. I think the Pacers are in a good spot here to at least cover in that game. And I also said I like the over. And, of course, how about Lions? How about the Lions? It's up to 11.5. I love the Lions against the Titans, who have pretty much...
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.